Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. Lord, we thank you for being the one who is our resurrected Lord. And we thank you that that new life that lives inside of us, Lord, will be celebrated today. And your new life, Lord, that you experienced 2,000 years ago, Lord, when you rose from the dead, Lord, that would become a reality to all of us in a deeper way. We pray that you would be with everyone, Lord, who's not able to make it, Lord, for whatever reason. Encourage their families and encourage them, Lord, to continue to press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to start a little worship here.
Five people are waiting.
Oh, five people are waiting. Why is that? Admit. 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 Sorry, guys, I didn't see that you were waiting. You're not supposed to go into the meeting room. Admit. Admit. Okay, hi, everyone. Sorry. Happy Resurrection Day.
Oh,
good. Hey, guys.
Hi.
I don't know why you...
Hi, Joseph.
Oh, I see.
Hello. I love you.
I love you, too.
So we're going to start with worship. Sorry, I'm glad someone pointed that out. People sitting there waiting. Okay. Sing worship. make sure everybody got in. Did everybody get in who needs to get in? Looks like you did.
I don't see Vicki and Tim.
Vicki and Tim aren't here yet, but I think they said they'll be joining soon. So there they are.
On the sheets.
Yeah.
Hi, Vicki.
I'm doing all right, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, we've got one more song, but I just want to make sure nobody was still in the waiting room. So.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, the Lord. Everybody's in.
Yeah, I need my glass.
So, how is everybody doing with the quarantine? Everybody good?
Yep.
Yep.
Thumbs up. I think Tyson's giving us a thumbs up. Roger and Cindy, you guys are doing good?
Yep. Yeah, thank you for asking.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and start with prayer. And I've got added a few things to the list.
He has a few things to add too.
If anyone has a barking dog, just go ahead and just put yourself on mute. And then when they're stop barking, you can go ahead and unmute so that if you want to have something to say. So,
oh, I'm on mute.
So I've added a few things on the prayer needs. Healthcare workers. If anyone has like a desire to pray for any of these, when I mention it, you can start praying. If not, Gay and I will pray. I won't necessarily put people on the spot. Okay. Well, we're going to start off by praying for Tim. He's not feeling well. So, Father, we just bring Tim before your throne of grace right now, Lord. And we pray that you would just allow healing to touch his body. Lord, give him strength. Lord, we know he's been working many long hours. We pray, Lord, that you would just restore, Lord, his weakness. Lord, you are the one that in our weakness perfects your strength. So right now, Lord, we pray for strength, encouragement, and Lord, of new vitality for Tim, Lord, to face, Lord, all of the things and the plans that he has to do, Lord. So we just ask you to bless our brother. We thank you for his life, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are the source of his life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. So healthcare workers and first responders, does anyone want to pray for that? Their safety? Okay, well, you want to pray for them?
Father, we lift up the health.
Does somebody want to pray?
No, go ahead.
Father, we lift up the healthcare workers and the first responders that are laying their life on the line, God, for others that are truly feeling that their call is more important than their own safety. So, Father, we lift them to you, praying that you would be their rear guard and their front guard and their guard all around, God, that you would put a hedge of protection around each one, Lord. Father, I want to speak to the minds of the healthcare workers and first responders and families that no fear can enter in there. Father, that you are the perfect word. Your word casts out fear. Your love casts out fear. So, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would replace that God within them. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for their hearts. We thank you, Lord God, for their giving and their care. We pray you would bless them, especially today, God. Father, that they would feel it, that they would know that they have added something that's there, that someone must be praying for them or someone must be lifting them up, that they would recognize, God, that you are helping them.
Amen.
Father, we just lift them to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
How about individuals infected with the virus and their families? Does anyone want to pray for that need? Okay, Father, I lift up, Lord, all the individuals, Lord, that have been touched, Lord, with this virus and all of the issues that come with that, Lord, the sickness, the disease, Lord, the inability, Lord, to be with their families, some of them, Lord, some in ICU units and some even on ventilators, Lord, that have a very low risk, Lord, a high risk, Lord, of not making it, Lord. So we pray that you would just be with them, Lord, and be with their families, Lord. Let their hearts be comforted. Lord, we pray that you would give the doctors wisdom who are working on them to know how to treat them and just continue, Lord, to let this be a time that people would cry out to you and call out to you, Lord, for answers and for the the actual reason to be alive, Lord. And especially those that don't know you, Lord, let them be drawn near to you and to have the real life that they need, Lord, the true life, the eternal life, Lord, that they need. Thank you, Jesus.
Remind them, because I don't think they heard you say it. Go ahead and just pray out.
Oh, again, if anyone, when I read that, if anyone just wants to start praying for the need, or you can say, I'll go ahead and pray. Gate just wanted me to remind you. So we have lives who are suffering from personal and financial loss. Anyone?
It's hard because we can't see you.
Hang on a second. Gate's got to see you.
We can't see you if you guys want to pray. So did anybody want to pray for the financial? Okay, go
ahead. Tyson, okay.
Go ahead, Ty.
Okay, all right. I just feel that right now that there is a lot of individuals out there that are they're feeling depression, you know, especially with the area of finances and what's going on, being cooped at home and whatnot. So this one kind of on my heart. So Father, I just thank you, for your glory today, Lord God. Thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. I pray though that people's lives would be touched during this difficult time. Lord, I pray that even though that they're going through some financial difficulties, that Lord, that you would get them through this trial, this tribulation, Lord God. I pray what the enemy has meant for evil, Lord God, that you would turn it for good, Lord God. People would come out of this and have testimonies, Lord God, of your greatness and what you're going to do through this difficulty. Lord, I pray against the battles of depression and people's minds. I pray for a clear-minded and a clear heart, Lord God, during this difficult time. And I just pray, Lord God, that people's finances would be in abundance, Lord God, when we come out of this, Lord God, that you would turn this economy around, Lord God, you would turn people's finances and people who believe in you and seek after you first, Lord God, that you would multiply their finances, you would multiply their fruits in their barns, Lord God, as your scripture would say. And Lord, I thank you though, Lord God, that you're still on the throne regardless of the situation. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the next one is, hang on a second, I'll just look at it, and I think we don't need to have everyone go to it. That the Lord will use this tragedy in our country as a seed for an awakening. Roger, why don't you pray for that?
Okay. Well, Father, we know that everything you do has a reason in your eyes. And Father God, we pray that you would open up the minds and the hearts and the spirits of your people to see what this is all about and not to see it and be overwhelmed by what's happening, Lord God. But let's be overwhelmed by the presence of God today. And Lord, we ask right now that through this whole situation, this COVID-19, Father God, that there would be an awakening, a revival that is based on repentance and the confession of sin throughout this land, even not just in the United States of America, but throughout the earth right now, Father. We just ask in Jesus' name that you would release upon the earth a spirit of repentance and a cry out to you as never before. And Lord God, we pray that you'd be glorified and honored and lifted up, for you are the one and only provider. You are the healer, the deliverer. You are the Lord of lords and King of kings, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. The next one is to pray for our government, leadership, those that have to make tough decisions and, you know, are going to be blamed for it because they didn't respond the way that 100% of the people want. And we know that there's not 100% agreement anywhere in this country. So would anybody want to pray for that? All right. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, on behalf of our government leaders, Lord, those in the cities and in the counties and the states, Lord, we pray that you would just give them wisdom, Lord, to make the decisions that they need to make for their own states, Lord, that it wouldn't just be a broad brush and everybody would do the same thing, because we know that each state is individual and each county is individual, city's individual. So we pray for wisdom, of what to do as far as whether to reopen, Lord, or stay closed. Lord, we pray that you would just give them the wisdom that they need from heaven, Lord, that goes beyond their own personal experience. Pray for our federal government, Lord, all the agencies, all the assistant agencies and the financial agencies, the Treasury Department, and Lord, all of those that have to make such crazy decisions, Lord, with our resources as a government, Lord, that you would just allow them to be good stewards, Lord, of what they've been given, and that, Lord, that they would have the ability, Lord, to not put this country just in more debt, Lord, if unnecessary, Lord. We pray that there would be an equity that would come, Lord, with the distribution of funds, that it wouldn't just go to the top 1%, but it would, Lord, it would be for those who really have need, Lord, for those who are not able to make it, that they would not get overlooked during this tragedy. We ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And also, Pastor Mike, I'd like to come against the enemy is trying to find cracks through this whole situation mm-hmm. to deceive people, even more so than a lot of people are deceived right now. And we want to come against the spirit of fear that has been rampant over this country and throughout the world, too, that we just ask that the Lord right now would release spirit of truth upon this land.
Amen.
People would rise up in that and not be deceived in this. The power of deception is the subtleness of it. So God, we just ask that you would open up our eyes to see deception in all of its greatest forms, and that we would not be deceived, that we would come to know the truth. And Jesus is the truth, and the truth of him will set us free.
Amen. Amen.
So Cameron, Vicki told us that your family's property was in a line of a tornado last night. Did anything get damaged?
Yes.
But no lives were injured or anything, right?
No, nobody's hurt. It tore up like we have horses, and it tore up a bunch of the horse pens. Some of the horses got out, and it was about 100 feet from the trailer we were sleeping in.
Wow.
So I heard it, but we couldn't move or do anything, but
felt
just
like
pray.
We were on a boat last night.
Yeah.
Did you find the horses? Did the horses stay around?
Yeah, we rounded them up.
First thing this morning, I had to go find a stud horse got with some of the mares, and there's about to be trouble in that area. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's just pray for that. Father, we just want to lift up Cameron Joseph and the family to you, God. Father, we just pray that this damage, Lord God, that was done, that came just by Mother Nature and her fury. God, we just pray, Lord God, that you would give resources and that you would give help, Lord God, to be able to restore the community. Father, that you would touch each heart that's involved here, God. If they don't know you, that they're drawn to you. If they do know you, that they be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would just touch them right now in the name of Jesus, and that through this very incident, along with all of the things that they're already going through, God, that they would see your hand, your mighty hand moving and working in their lives, God, and recognize it for such. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that Cameron and Joseph have been able to join us during this time. And we want to pray blessing on their little family, God. Amen. We just pray blessing over them. And we thank you, Father, for no injury in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead. And is there anyone that needs to get what they need for communion?
Yes.
Does everybody have it? All you need is just, at the very least, bread and water. So nobody's saying they don't have it. So, okay. Well, let's go and get started then. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him and to remember him in his death. Some people say that there is not necessarily a reason to do communion on the day that we're celebrating his resurrection, but I always look at it that it's all encompassing. that his body being broken and torn and his body being raised was all part of the process of the Lamb of God. And so I just want us to honor the Lord today in all, not just his death and burial, but in his resurrection through communion. It's because of his resurrection that we can take communion. It's because of his resurrection that we can share in the common union of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And in the blood of Christ. So it said that on that night that he was betrayed, that he took the bread and he broke it. He broke the bread. And he said, "Take, this is my body that is broken for you. Take this and eat it. And as you do, you participate in the Lord's death and resurrection and burial. As we eat this bread, we're coming into partnership." That's what communion means, common union. We're coming into partnership of what he accomplished on the cross for us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your broken body. We thank you, Lord, that it represents, Lord, the veil that separated the Father and us as his people, Lord, and that it made a way where there was no way before. And we could come, Lord, into the throne room. We can come boldly before the throne of grace now because of your broken body. Lord, we thank you that your body represents, Lord, us too. All of us here as believers right now, Lord, that we are your body. Lord, we are your body. Lord, as you were broken, Lord, you were broken so this body of believers, our own personal bodies could be made whole. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are our Savior. You are the one, Lord, that took our place. You were the one that ransomed us. You were the one, Lord, that purchased us, Lord, with the price that was the everlasting, eternal Lamb of God price, Lord. And so we value, Lord, your body right now as we participate in this communion time. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and eat your bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your life flow through us right now, Lord. Let your life, Lord, just renew and revitalize, rejuvenate, Lord, our beings. We thank you for that. In the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." The old covenant represented an animal's blood to be shed. The new covenant was Jesus' blood being shed. And Jesus' blood was not just a covering of our sins, but a total obliteration of our sins. We are now all white and pure as snow in God's eyes. Yes, even though we might make mistakes, we might sin, our sins are not held against us because of the blood of Jesus, who has transformed and made us righteous. All of us here are righteous now in God's eyes because of this blood.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your shed blood. Lord, we thank you that your blood, Lord, was given up, Lord, so that we could be whole and we could be pure and we could be fully righteous before God. Lord, that our own acts, Lord, our own deeds, Lord, are like filthy rags before you. But Lord, because of your blood, Lord, we wear white garments. We wear holy garments, Lord. And so right now, if there's anything that's been in our heart, Lord, that has condemned us or kept us, Lord, from being in your perfect way, Lord, we just thank you that the blood of Jesus is cleansing that right now as we participate in this communion time. We share, Lord, in your death, burial, and resurrection right now, Lord, as we take your blood. And we thank you that in your blood is life.
Yes.
In your blood is the life of God. And we just now take this juice representing your blood, Lord, and we receive all the goodness, the wholeness that it has for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and take your cup. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Anything, anyone wants to share anything on their heart with that? No one?
Well, maybe I could say something.
Okay.
In the Bible, it says that If in this life only our hope is in Christ, then we are among men most miserable.
Yep.
That's a real profound thing. So while we're here walking on the earth, we have hope in Christ here. And if we didn't have hope through his death, burial, and resurrection, we wouldn't have hope beyond where we are right here on the earth.
Amen.
So Jesus is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf right now, every moment. Amen. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I think it's a wonderful thought when we think about Jesus's death and resurrection, and that we don't have to be miserable like a lot of men, because we have a hope that goes beyond where we are on this earth. And Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand, ensuring of our hope there where he sits.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
That was a great word. And it segues perfectly into what we'll be sharing today. Does anyone else have anything else? Mike, Nyla, go ahead, Myla. It's good to hear from you.
Hi, guys.
The newlyweds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I just, you know, every time that I take communion, it's just so profound, because the way that we eat the bread and drink the wine, I mean, those go into our body and in the most literal sense give us life and nourishment. Amen. As food that we consume. And just to like relate that, what Jesus did on the cross, he gave up his life for us to have that life. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it for anyone. He did it for us. He did it to live and dwell within us, for us. And it's just the most sacrificial thing. And just the way that the food, that we eat that food, and that food becomes no more, to live and give us that nourishment, that life. It's just something that I just wanted to bring attention to. You know, the food is gone, but it gave us nourishment, gave us life. The way Jesus's life was taken from him, but in that way, it gave us his spirit.
That's good. That's really good. Never heard that before. That's awesome. Thank you. Anyone else?
The blood never loses its power.
No.
Never
loses his power. Amen. Okay, I'm going to unmute everyone, but if you want to share while we're sharing, just go ahead and
raise your hand
or start talking. Okay. We did communion. So we're going to talk about resurrection realities and the idea of what resurrection not only meant for Jesus, but what it means for us as his children. What is the truth that we can live with and live through and live by through his resurrection? So let's go ahead and first read in Mark, where Jesus is communicating to his disciples after Peter has said that you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. He goes on to go and read it.
Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again.
So here's Jesus way before he was going to even be in the situation where he's going to be handed over by his betrayer and given over into the hands of evil, wicked rulers of the Jews, and then killed by the Romans. And he was communicating to them this reality. And it's so interesting that it came off of Peter saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, mm-hmm. that this was why he was the Christ, the anointed one. He was the anointed one, not so that he could be the physical king in Jerusalem, but that he could be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over every life, both Jew and Gentile, or Jew and non-Jew, individuals who had no place previously in the ways of the kingdom of God because they were separated, because they were not Jews. They were not Jewish. And so now we have Jesus saying, in 3 days, I will rise again after they do this to me. In Luke 24:27, it's the scene where Jesus has been discovered that he's no longer in the tomb. Or
24:2-7,
where the disciples mm-hmm. discover that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. So go ahead and read that.
Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?"
So here we have these angelic visitors, messengers communicating to the disciples, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" And so the whole point of that is that they're trying to say is that he does not belong with the dead anymore, that he has no representation with being dead or the dead. He is in the category of the living, and alive he is. Pastor Ken used to always say a great, great statement. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Mm-hmm. In other words, there is a reality that he is no longer bound by a death, hell, or the grave. He has been set free. Peter, when he's communicating in Acts to the people, he's saying that his flesh did not see corruption. There was no corruption to Christ's flesh. His body had been preserved, mm-hmm. and his resurrected body, of course, was even a new body that they didn't even recognize. If we look at this idea that there is a truth and a reality to him rising on the third day, that the third day is a representation even of like the Trinity, mm-hmm. that it represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that those three are all involved in this resurrection, that it wasn't just Jesus, you know, rising from the dead. It was God coming and saying, "I have overcome this, and you are no longer bound by this."
Right. It makes you very emotional, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think about it. let's stop and see. Does anybody have anything to share or agree or an amen or anything?
Can I just say something?
No, sure.
As we were taking communion and we were reading about "Do this in remembrance of me," I've always had a really hard time with that particular statement, "remembrance of me," because to me, Christ has always been alive. And to remember somebody would be to remember somebody that's long gone. And I was being a naughty girl while all of us were, you know, talking, and I looked that up, and it actually is to remember the act of what he did, not remembering him, because he's alive in us. He is as real to me as Mila is to me, or as Jesse is to me. He is alive and well. And so we need to always remember that he's one of us. We're part of him. He's part of us. And that just makes it so much more personal to me, so much more real, because I don't have to remember him. I only have to remember the act. And what he did, no one can compare. No one can compare. No one can ever do what he did. And that makes me emotional, because I know that I won't ever, nothing that I can do, no act that I can perform. Nothing will ever make me worthy enough of him, but he always still wants me.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, then his whole, the whole act of the cross and the resurrection was saying, I want you, I love you, mm-hmm. I desire you, and I miss you, and I want you restored back to who you rightfully are.
And you may not miss me, but you will know that you missed something when you have me again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you can't miss something that you don't know that you didn't have. Like, we lost our son. He was 14, and we miss him. We knew we had him. But when you're a sinner and you don't know that you have Jesus, I think there's still something in there that kind of makes your spirit just kind of get uncomfortable or groan or just be, do you know what I mean? Like,
kind of like something's missing.
Something's missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it's the savior of all mankind missing.
And when you have him, you realize what you've missed the whole time was there all along.
Reaching out, knocking on your door, trying to get you to wake up to who he is and what he's done. Junior, go ahead.
Yeah, I really feel what you mean when you say that. It's kind of like how Gay said, how you all said, like, do it in remembrance of me. It's just remembering something that was, and it's, and the way you said, how you can be gone for so long, and once it really is gone, you miss it, but it fills that void. The remembrance of it alone fills that void of, you know, what you forgot. So, yeah, that kind of just like hit me like a brick just now. Just that it's that void that people say you're missing in your life is that void of what was to be remembered itself.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's just not remembering the act, but it's remembering what the act accomplished.
Yeah.
That remembering that because he died, we now live. Because his body was broken, we're now made whole. Because his blood was shed, we now are completely righteous and holy and pure before God. That's what Jesus is talking about also with the remembrance. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, Pastor Mike, God gave us a heart to worship and to seek to worship.
Yes.
Look at Abraham. Abraham was worshiping in the desert before he knew what he was worshiping. And so that is in our heart. And so when we are seeking things like idols, you know, sports figures, those kind of things, that's the desire in our heart to seek God.
Right.
That it has been perverted into a different way. So that, you know, that goes along with the knowing something's missing. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's missing. We just know we're looking for something bigger than ourselves, I guess.
Amen. Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Okay.
In John 11:24 through 26, we hear Martha saying to Jesus.
Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And she's talking about Lazarus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
I think that's such an amazing statement that it's not that I'm in charge of the resurrection or that I oversee the resurrection or I manage the resurrection. No, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
So in other words, just as Jesus is the way and Jesus is the truth and Jesus is the life, Jesus is the resurrection. So in a way you could say that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that's he resurrected himself from the dead.
Right.
Yeah, we know it was the Spirit, but we also know that the Spirit of Christ and the Father are all one. So he literally raised himself from the dead. He is the resurrection, and he has power over death.
Right.
And in him raising his body, now, though we seemingly die, we never die. And if we believe in him, we're never going to die. So when we pass this life and it appears that we have died, it's an illusion. We have not died. We are just expanding our existence into a greater level of eternalness. Because see, all of us are eternal now. Eternal life lives and dwells, and she wants to see you.
You have to say that every time.
I do. It's the way she does. It's like, I want to see her. There's an eternal life that resides in us now. That we have that same eternal life that Christ has and lives in. Like you said, we're one. When we share in communion, we're sharing in the realness that we have eternal life. And so whether a car hits us and we walk outside and this body expires, it's just the body. Who we truly are doesn't die and lives. That's pretty good news.
Mm-hmm. I remember having such a fear of death. And I think I had, I need to see him.
Okay, she wants to see you. Yeah.
I think I had the fear of death because I did not recognize the power of eternal life in Jesus. When I recognized the eternal part of who he was and realized when I shut these eyes for the last time and I opened them in and gazed at his face, I won't miss any of this stuff down here. I won't miss any people down here. I remember when we got married, I said, you better miss me if I die before you. You know, put your fist up. But he can do whatever. He can get married the day after I die if he wants to.
Some people would have a problem.
I don't care.
Your daughter would.
Like, yeah, it would be really hard.
What are you doing, Dad?
But I don't care because I'm going to be with my Lord and my Savior. And my brother is going to be joining me someday. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's my brother before he's my husband. He is, I honor him as a fellow servant in Christ.
A co-heir.
A co-heir. And so when we take communion, that joining together, when we're doing it all together, it brings all of our hearts together. Not just a few, every single one of us that's taking communion and we're putting that in our mouth at the same time and we're remembering the act that Christ did. We're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a connection with all of us all. So I don't have a fear of death anymore. I'm like, if it may catch me, especially if I'm in an airplane, it may catch me for a minute, but then I'm like, you know, if I die in this plane, I'm going to wake up with Jesus holding me in his arms. I'm all right with that, you know, because that's what true life is all about, is Jesus. This is just so minuscule. This life here is so minute and so
temporal,
small
so
and
fragile.
Temporal for a part of our whole existence.
Amen. I'm in agreement. So my question is, do you believe this? And if you believe this, how do you respond in your life with that truth? How is your life equating or bearing fruit based on the fact that you are never going to die and that if you believe in him, you're going to live with an abundant life? 1 Peter 3-5 says.
1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Born again to a living hope. Notice that it's through the resurrection. In other words, the resurrection is what gives us the ability to be born again. Not just the death, not just the burial, but also the resurrection. Because it gives us the ability to now be born again into the reality of a living hope.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what this means for us now.
To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
So this is talking about what we have received in the form of inheritance, an imperishable, I love that. In other words, it's not going to perish, undefiled. In other words, it's there's no corruption to it. There's nothing about it that is of wickedness and unfading. In other words, it has no distinction of falling off. It stays.
It doesn't expire.
Has no expiration date. There we go. And it's kept in heaven for us. In other words, it's secure. It's guarded. It's protected in the heavenlies. It can't be stolen from us because it's under the power of God himself.
Right. And nothing we do will make it imperishable or will make it perishable. Nothing we do will defile it.
Unless we choose to not receive it.
Nothing we do will make it fade away.
Unless we choose to not receive it. Unless we make the choice saying, I don't want it, which I don't know why we would want to do that. Romans 6:4-5. Here's another attribute, another reality of what it means for the resurrection. Go ahead.
We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
So what we see here is just as Jesus was buried and we are then like buried, being buried in baptism with him, then Christ, who was raised from the dead through the glory or by the glory of God. In other words, it was the glory of God. It was God who raised him from the dead. We know that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. And so that we too now have the ability to walk in a newness of life. So we don't have to walk in our old ways. And some people say, well, you know, I get tempted and stuff and things happen and people come back and, or, you know, I go through the same patterns. I go through the same patterns and I get caught up in the same type of, you know, stuff that triggers me and I end up falling, you know, and I end up stumbling and some people end up, you know, getting to the place where they can't see up from down anymore. They're all turned around. And the thing is you don't have to do that. If you do get into an area of life where you're starting to actually be strayed or moving to, you know, to the other side instead of closer to God, you're moving further away from him. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I return. You don't have to stay in the old mindset, in the old patterns, because you now have the ability to walk in a newness of life. Newness of life is yours. Just as we were saying last week that love, or a couple weeks ago, love is yours. The ability to have love is yours because you have God. The ability to have joy is yours because you have God, and God's joy dwells in you. So anything that God has dwells in you. And that's the newness of life that gives us that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that keeps us from walking in that is our renewing, the lack of the renewing of our mind.
And in that, remembering that sin is just missing the mark. That's all sin means. It doesn't mean that you have done something so irreparable, God will never want you again. You just missed the mark. And when we miss the mark, like if you're on a trip and you miss going to the town you were supposed to be going to because you took the wrong directions.
Can't get there from here.
We were talking about that yesterday. You just have to reroute. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this huge, penance and all. It's just you miss the mark. It's just like, I'm sorry, Lord, I missed the mark.
Change your course.
I want to change my course. I want to get it back to where you're at. And that's as easy as it is. And we always make it so very hard. And it isn't. The enemy would like you to believe it's hard.
How many hoops do you have to jump through?
Yeah.
How many plates do you have to try to spin at the same time?
Right.
Whatever it is that, you know, you think you have to measure up to. How many prayers
do you have to say?
It's really just a matter of in your heart saying, Lord, I messed up. I'm going to go back to where I first was or where I was supposed to go.
Right.
And he's ready to receive you. what father, I mean, most fathers, all a child has to do, dad, would you forgive me? I'm so sorry. I messed up. Can we do, and you're just going to, your heart's going to break. Yes. If it's true repentance, you know when it is, you know, I'm sorry. You know, okay, that's not true. You can just tell when it's true repentance, because true repentance comes from sorrow that they are not just being caught, but that they messed up. All right, let's go ahead and finish this up. I think it's already in there. Yeah. So in 1 Corinthians, oh, he's going to come down here. 15:20-23, it says,
but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all will die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ.
So as Jesus Christ, the Christ, has been raised from the dead, he's that first fruit of being raised from the dead. He is, just as Adam, as it's saying, that all died, so in Christ, all are made alive. And so what we have here is a reinforcement that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was the example for us. Mm-hmm. He was the example that you're the firstborn among many brethren. You are the you're the new Adam, because mm-hmm. he's declared in other part of the scripture that he's the second Adam. He is the Adam with the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Where Adam was made in the image of God, and I believe had the breath of God, Jesus was God. Mm-hmm. So he was the Adam to even bring Adam back to being who he was really meant to be. And so we have this truth and this reality that we're all made alive. And like you were saying earlier, you didn't know what you were missing truly until you came to Christ and says, oh my goodness, this is what real life is.
Right.
This is what true reality is. That's what Jesus says, I'm the truth. This is real. And so now what we have is we have also the reality that we're alive. Mm-hmm. We're made alive. That we're not just made alive, you know, when we die and we have an eternal. Right. It's happening now.
I once was blind, but now I see.
That we have a deposit. We have an earnest. We have a down payment from the Holy Spirit, which is that life. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I love that.
Okay. And 1 Corinthians 15:54-55.
When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
When this perishable, this body, this flesh, this temporal part of me puts on the imperishable, and my mortalness puts on immortality, then that will be the fullness of my faith that I have been believing in. And it's going to be, fully evident to me. It won't be just my faith anymore that I will be able to say, man, death has been swallowed up in the victory of the cross. That's the victory. It was the victory of his death, burial, and resurrection. When I say the cross, it means all three of those. It doesn't just mean Jesus hanging on a cross with nails in his hands and feet, with a crown of thorns on, giving up the ghost. It's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The whole package is the work of the cross. And then we can say together, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? In other words, there is no sting to death for us.
Yeah.
That's why it says that we do not have to mourn as those who have no hope when we lose someone. We have a ability with the right perspective and the right heart and the right timing, because I know that there's grief and we all suffer grief, and it's each of us handle that a different way, but it's not that we have to live and stay in that our entire life, because we have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope that our loved one, that we'll see them again. We have the blessed hope that Christ did more for us in those 3 days than we can ever, hope for or wish for anyone else that we know, because it is a finished work that they can enter into as well. So praise the Lord. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. I want to make sure I give this opportunity, because last week I forgot. For anyone that would, hang on here, like to give, we have the ability for you to give online at onelifefamilyworship.org or cotm.net. I recommend the cotm.net. It's a lot easier to get there. You'll see a donate button. It's like the fourth button over. Click on that, and then you can pay. If you have a PayPal account, you can pay with PayPal, or you can pay with a credit card if you want to, or you can send by mail. We're in the Tri-Cities right now, so you can send One Life Family Worship, care of Mike and Gaylene Lindell, and there's a banner bank down here where we bank, and we can deposit it. So anyone who's been giving during this time, I just want to thank you so much for honoring the Lord in your giving, and we're able to continue to pay the bills, and we're able to continue to keep the lights on, even though the lights aren't on. And there's such a richness to be able to gather with you. I'm going to unmute you all so that we can kind of hobnob. If you want to mute yourself, you can. There's such a richness with being with you all. We love you guys so much, and we're so appreciative of you and your faithfulness during this time.